Does economic success always promote happiness? Few economies in the world are as strong as Britain's at the moment, but Prime Minister Tony Blair has formed an advisory committee, known to insiders as the Whitehall Wellbeing Working Group, and in the British press as Blair's Department of Happiness. The committee will offer the government advice on policies that promote subjective well-being, as they call it. Tim Jackson is a member of that Whitehall Wellbeing Working Group and joins us from the studios of the BBC in Surrey. Mr. Jackson, thanks very much for being with us.
Hello, pleased to be with you.
And so far, what have you found? What makes people happy?
Well, first of all, economics tells us that the more we have, the better off we are. That essentially, that economic development is the route to improving people's well-being and whether they have the goods and services they need for a good life. And for poorer economies, as you get richer, we do get happier. We do report higher levels of well-being. But the evidence is quite strong that that effect tails off. And actually, for the richest economies in the world, for every pound in the pocket extra you have, you get very little, if any, return in terms of well-being. And that's the challenge.
Mm. Is this a province of government, or isn't this classically a case of where people in their individual lives are free to make whatever decisions they can to figure out, for example, if there's can be a trade-off between making more money and spending more time with their family?
Yeah, I mean, choice, in fact, is one of the things we celebrate. But on the other hand, some of the factors that affect our happiness, like the strength of our community, the state of our environment, the stability of our family, and so on and so forth, they are things which are affected by government policy. So then who would you ask to be responsible for that if it's not government?
Is there a for instance that occurs to you, Mr. Jackson?
Well, a for instance is that over the last 20 or 30 years, possibly a little bit longer, a lot of emphasis has been put on the idea of economic mobility. You want a workforce that's capable of moving to and fro wherever the work happens to be. And this is good for the economy. But it also has an impact. It has an impact on the stability of family life, on people's friendships, on the strength of communities. And that's okay if people are really free to make a choice, if they have absolute freedom. But if you put people in a social context, in an economic context, in which if they are to retain a job, that kind of move is necessary, it's arguable whether they are really free to make the choice at all.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Jackson, is there a possibility that your group will come up with a list of obvious truisms, like it's wonderful that people have choices and options in the job market, but that creates other stress, that sort of thing?
Some of those are truisms. Some of them are, you know, insights into what matters that are sometimes forgotten in policies. So I think even if they are, you know, self-evidently true at the level of common wisdom, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are embedded in policy in the way they should. And I think it's a mistake in a way to try to pin the whole thing on a kind of naive attempt to be happy and clappy. There is a difference between a sort of puerile sense of immediate gratification and happiness and a sense of people being able to live good, decent lives. And it's very easy to take the mickey out of this happiness unit in government. And the latter is the baby that could be thrown out with the bathwater. The latter is the important task of government.
Professor Jackson, I'm inclined to say have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Tim Jackson is a professor of sustainable development at the University of Surrey and a member of the Whitehall Wellbeing Working Group. Thank you.